Dr. Brass Stacks, you are on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sister Lisa.
Good afternoon.
I hope I'm not disrespectful in calling you sister.
No, I'm all of the men in Barbados are my brothers, except my husband.
Thank and you then, very much.
Yes.
Yeah, my question to you.
Including what, Dennis Johnson.
You got a level there. You got a level DJ.
He's my brother.
Okay, all right, thanks. All right. Lord, you're right. He's mine too, sir, but he didn't want you to be his sister. Yes. My question to you is, what would cause a government to have access to so much funds from the IADB and not use it to help the people of this country?
Glad you asked. I can share with you a couple reasons. Do you want to hear?
Yeah, of course I want to hear. I got some person give me a reason and I can agree with them.
So you may have a scenario where funds have been disbursed, but the project design may not be as executable in the space for which it has been designed. So you said you're going to do 15 things. Two of them are contingent on, let's say at point three, we're at stage three now, 15 stages. And when you get to number three, you have to build, let's say, a wall around, which is just totally, what's that word? I'm just using a hypothetical situation. You have to build a wall around a pool, and it must be 7 feet. Based on the project design, it must be 7 feet. Or, yeah, 7 feet high. But the laws of the land don't permit you to have a wall around that particular pool in that particular, let's say it's right next to a coastline or something. It can't go so high. So the project is stalled and cannot move because you can't just change legislation in 3 days. That could be the reason why a particular project not go to phase four if it was stalled at stage three. Another reason why we may have politicians or policymakers setting a particular agenda, not being aware of the intricacies of how something is done. You know, the lay of the land, the real granular stuff they may not know. So they may go ahead and approve something. But then when it really gets down to the nuts and bolts, that something isn't as executable as it should be. Those could be two reasons. And then you can have some incompetence. You can have lack of will, political and otherwise, or you can have people who just don't have the wherewithal to use the funds in a manner. You may have a person who thinks that, oh, we shouldn't spend any money, but they don't realize that the money has been gifted to the country and they may be holding back, could be at the level of a PS or a head of department, and they may be holding back, not knowing the real picture. So there could be a number of reasons why funds aren't dispersed. And then in another scenario, like for example the one with Cat's Castle, which myself and Mr. Gibbs State spoke about earlier, you had a scenario where you couldn't find landlords for an inordinately long time, where every time you get a report you hear that, oh, we can't find the landlords, but somebody is paying rent to somebody, so you can find the landlord if you really need to find the landlord. But yes, those types of scenarios can happen.
I was told, I was asking a fellow well educated in policy thing. He was telling me that in order for you to get that money, there's some kind of percentage of money you're going to pay them first before you get another tranche.
Yes, you have to meet certain. So let's say you have to meet. So you have commitment fees for which, yes, there's a fee to say that you've committed. They're commitment fees, but then you have to spend a certain amount in order to be able to get the next set. So if I was the person lending, I'm not giving you $5 million if you don't spend the first $3 million. So your next tranche is $5 million. You have to spend the first $3 million. You haven't spent the $3 million, so you can't get all the funds.
So that what the fellow was telling me this morning is true. All I have, them had no money to spend, so them can go for the rest.
Oh, you're speaking about if you have in kind. So let's say there's some loans. Remember, we're talking different things. There's some where you have a loan, loan, and then there are times when you have an actual gift. Where there's a Mr. Tate called it earlier. He called it by the correct term, where funds are actually gifted to the country. Can't remember that particular term that he used, but you have in some instances, like one I know about, where we were at the chamber, we were given a $150,000. There's a word for it, and it has evaded me. But you're given some monies. It is not a loan. But you have to spend, I think 30% of those you had to put as well. We call it in kind, or we call the company had to put a certain amount of money in order to get the other 70%.
So what the guy was telling me was right. I mean, they had no money to put, so they can get the rest.
It is very possible. It is very possible. Because sometimes you have...
Your explanation, sister.
Right. Grant aid was the term that was used this morning, yes.
Right. Thank you very much, sister.
You're welcome, sir. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Amos. Yeah, how are you today?
Doing well, thanks.
They had a lively conversation related here.
Yes, grant aid. I'm getting a lot of responses. Grant aid, grant aid, grant aid, grant funding, financial grant. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you had a lively conversation related. Anyway, Carol, the sign of Jonah has already come.
Sorry?
Carol, she can know that the sign of... I want to speak on a different subject, but the sign of Jonah has already come.
That the sign of Jonah has already come. Okay.
Three times a century already. And I'm gonna let you see basically what it is. It's a mass and no soul rather than reconstructed them. I want punching this phrase. Young Abraham smashing idols. That's what he was called, prophet and friend of God. Young Abraham smashing idols. Both the Jews and the Muslims knew it. But there's a Bishop of All Souls who wrote the book Paul the First Christian. And he said that the name of the prophet that you call is not Jesus. It's Jesus, E-I-S-U-S. It comes from Aramaic.
That's pronunciation.
Right, Jesus, right. And in Arabic, Isa. I once spoke to Mr. The gentleman that saw if I'm sick, the moderator, Mr. Murray, that in the Encyclopedia Britannica by Society of Gentlemen in Scotland, it says that the writings of James and the brother of Jesus according to the flesh, it's actually in keeping with Islamic thought. Why not tell him that in separate Britannic by certain gentlemen in Scotland, it comes in the heading of Allah, A-W-L-A-H, which is the ancient name of God. It's actually the singular of Elohim, which is Eloah. So she can hold on with that. I want to speak about something else, though.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. The last time we spoke, you ended on theocracy.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned, and you actually ended up on the very last thing you said about relating to Moses. Now, if you want, you can punch in Jewish Encyclopedia, Theocracy, but also punch in a Catholic Encyclopedia, Theocracy, an International Standards Bible Encyclopedia. Mm-hmm. You see, it comes from Josephus, the one the early Christians called the Love of Truth. You know, you said that for many, right? I love that. I don't know your name,
you know.
No. You used to call me Josephus, and I used to laugh.
Okay.
I know the top that ran and stuff into.
Okay.
Now, Mr. Green of Salutation was speaking about cameras on the police, which is okay. And videotape, when people making steps to videotape it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was speaking to Mr. Vickham the other day about instances where people who were really under stress and being interrogated. The rules of interrogation really have been looked upon again. There's another lady, too. Her name is Elizabeth Loftus. She's a psychologist. And she showed in her work, matter of fact, she even testified in the O.J. Simpson case and many other cases as well. She showed that sometimes when a person is being questioned, mm-hmm. the words that you use can actually make people believe that they saw things which they never saw, even though they were eyewitnesses to it. She gave the example, of an accident. People saw an accident. And when they were questioned, the word "smash" was used in the question, right?
Okay.
The word "smash" conveys the idea of glass breaking. No glass was broken.
Mm-hmm.
And they use that word. People who actually saw the accident, there is no glass broken, said there was glass.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, yes.
Careful with the words, the choice of words. Okay.
Yes, right. So the investigators got to go back. There's nothing against them. It's just that they got really. If they want to get truth, because that's what a lot of these people who are against death penalty bring up these things, because they already know, right? But if questioning is done properly, you can't go wrong. Anyway, you have a good afternoon.
Thank you so much this afternoon. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. We have a number of persons on WhatsApp. Some of them are having fun, some of which I can't repeat. But I want to comment on the last caller who called before we went off air. And indicate that we have a lot of scenarios in Barbados where persons feel as though they're not being treated fairly because they're poor, or they're not being treated fairly because they're at the bottom echelon in society. And I would encourage the caregivers and the facilitators and the persons who work in the field that they exercise some more empathy. And I know over time, if you work with so many people, some of whom you may not trust, or you know they have criticized you or done negative things to you, you may become a little hardened, and then you don't treat every case with the specificity with which it requires, and the empathy. And I would encourage persons, whether in school settings, dealing with persons at welfare, whether at church, whether at the hospital, wherever, and you're dealing with people either less fortunate or persons who have challenges, that we exercise a certain level of empathy, love, and care. That's my call, because it is already, you know, humiliating for a woman to have to go, or a man for that matter, to go asking for assistance, then to be treated as though they are less than a human being. And that's not acceptable. And it's something we need to fix. How we respond to people is something we need to consider. The other matter relates to the bathrooms. And I reached out to Mr. Hasid during the conversation I was having with Mr. Williams earlier. And the area specifically is not earmarked for a public bathroom, but I want to make the call now for those persons in Bridgetown who play their trade, who have businesses, that they can come up with a space or a place where a bathroom or a set of bathrooms can be placed, and that they can be joint. I think the minister of, well, the MP for the city, the Colonel Jeffrey Bostick, as well as the Minister of Transport and Works, or whoever it falls under the, whoever has responsibility for the NCC, because I know the NCC manages certain parts of the city, that they come up with a facility, a place where persons can have a bathroom. And that's something that I feel that we can action, as we are looking to remove pit toilets from particularly areas where the city is concerned, and some other areas. I think that's an area that we can get some persons to come up with some, you know, some funding and an opportunity where that can happen. So that's one of my calls, that we find some good ways to make those users of the city, the passers-by, the shoppers, etc., as well as visitors, that we give them an opportunity to be able to refresh themselves. And I give kudos to persons like Cave Shepherd and the other places who provide that facility. Most people can walk into any Chafet, as we know, and use the bathroom, and they don't have to be using the services or purchasing anything from there. So if we had more of those entities who can accommodate or find a place where both public and private sector can share. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, my dear.
Good afternoon.
Yes, all I want to say, right, this is surprising. Persons who get a license to play their trade, dealing with food, mm-hmm. or whatever, et cetera, you are telling me, as you are saying about the pit toilets in 2018, mm-hmm. they have no facilities for water to wash their hands. Mm-hmm. They're still playing their trades. Mm-hmm. You have no bathrooms for persons to whatever they
refresh
need to
themselves.
Do. Refresh. good way to put it. Mm-hmm. You are telling me this should be discussed at all. You don't have the facilities, even if you have the one where they're called the one that is moving and put down, the temporary one.
Yeah, the portable toilet.
The portable one. Those should be attached to your license. You don't pay for it. Mm. You can't show me it. You don't have a license.
Good suggestion. A little more costly for the person who's playing their trade, but it's useful.
I will not agree with that. The reason why. Mm-hmm. Everything that all these persons put in place is to make money, right?
Yes.
They're not going to go and bring something there and don't attach the cost to the person who's buying. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's like they know what they want. They know what they need to do. Mm-hmm. They know to pass it on as they normally does. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying health is more serious, because if you get epidemic or serious or whatever is going around the place, to hurt other persons. It can cost more to the country than anything else. So let me get this thing in place where as that you have four things dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a facilities. You don't exist there. Straight and far, there's nothing plain to say about that. Thank you very much, my dear.
Thank you so much. We have one WhatsApper that says, good afternoon. I would like someone to clarify as it relates to the road tax due up until the 30th of June. If someone has a road tax due on the 26th of June and parks their car as advised until July 1st, then wants to sell their car next year, won't arrears still be due on that car as per BRA's records? This is Down to Brass Tax. We're going right on to the latest. I will be with you. This is Down to Brass Tax. Good afternoon. We have a call on the line.
Good afternoon. Am I on, ma'am?
Yes, you are.
Yes, good afternoon to you and good afternoon to listeners. I would just like to make three very quick points. I heard on the news a while ago, some country, far overseas country, was saying that crime down and this thing down and the next thing down, which sounds great. But what I think that the authorities in these countries need to do, they have to give these things time, like a 1 year. You know, give it a 1 year, an 18-month period, or even a 2 year period before they can make that assessment. Because, ma'am, very often crime in certain places may be down for a few days or a few weeks. And you figure, well, all is well. But as you come now and you kind of big up that there, then you quick saw you hear this thing happened and that happened. So I think they need to give these things, give it time to write. Don't rush because something happened is looking well for 2 or 3 days or so to think they should not. You know, give it sometime a 9 month period, a 6 month period, 1 year period, 18, anything so. Secondly, some person was complaining about debris leave by the road. Now, the thing is about that even if you have a truck or a truck to pick up debris that weed or chop down and clean, with the volume of traffic, it creates a problem because if an open truck or whatever it is and a bobcat got to clean it up at the same time, in two tools, you have a traffic buildup. So that there is another problem again, which, you know, people got to consider them things. And finally, ma'am, what I would like to say is that people, they're talking about toilets, facilities in Bridgetown and so on, which would be a good idea. But people have to be educated to know that when they use these facilities, they use it in a decent manner, like how they will use it at theirs, because for the simple reason, some people, not all, I can't paint everybody in the same brush, some people will use some facilities in a decent way, while others will use it in a bad way. And there were those people that doing that, if they had to go to the Prime Minister and use the Prime Minister's personal toilet, then they leave it in that unsanitary condition. Or if they have to go to a good friend or family relative, they are not going to do it. So before the authorities put them financial services in place, people got to learn to use those things in a decent and proper way as if it is theirs. Or otherwise, we will never see nothing like that, ma'am. And I thank you very much for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you so much for your call. My response for the gentleman would be, it is important to report some of the changes sometimes in statistics. One being, if there's been a rise in crime, you normally would hear about a rise in crime. In this instance, this what I heard was South Trinidad, and there has been a reduction in the crime. And we've heard so many stories of the height in crime. So, of course, if the Minister of Security wants to speak about the work that has been done and the concomitant reduction in crime, of course he or she should talk about it. So in this instance, I think it is important to also share those results, because this country has been dogged with a lot of commentary about its crime rate being so high, and the moment it comes down, I think that is a blessing for some, and a lot of conversation will happen here. Yes, I know there will be maybe another spike at some point, but I don't have a challenge when those things are reported. So thank you for your contribution. Two other things that came from the news today. One would be the sewage scenario. There's a commentary here that there's been improvements in sewage, and then that we have the sargassum challenge. So we have two challenges to deal with the issues relating to sewage, which is different. Some call it man-made, but then the sargassum challenges, which are not man-made. And we heard about the very large skirt. There was actually a really good term used. There was a large set of sargassum. I was just reading it here online about the types of how it has impacted the Caribbean. Because as the minister rightly said, it is not just the country of Barbados that is impacted right now. There are a number of our Caribbean brothers and sisters that are suffering from this. And I like what I heard from the chair of the cleanup campaign, where he said that it is not only a challenge, but they're trying to see now where opportunity can be had and whether there's any benefit from the sargassum that has presented itself in Barbados. We have a caller. This is Dr. Brass Stacks. You are on the air. We're going until 1 p.m. today. Good afternoon.
Ms. Gill.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am. Are you familiar with the city? I mean the city in terms of houses and that kind of thing, like the Orleans, Chapmalin, and Greenfield, and those kinds of places?
I have traversed the city, yes. And then we had a project working in and around, the environs of Bridgetown, yes.
Well, let me say this to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I agree with the minister, and indeed my friend Rashid, who been calling for this eradication of pit toilets for many a year, Rashid been calling for this, and finally he has gotten it. But I want to say to the authorities and Rashid that it is impossible to eradicate all pit toilets in some parts of the city, places like the Orleans and Chapmalin and Castle and that place. It is impossible. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Some of those places, the houses are so close. I don't know how to get these pit toilets built on. If it's going to be a case where they're going to build on pit toilets.
No, you're not building pit toilets. You're removing the pit toilets and replacing
them. I'm not building pit toilets. Sorry. Not building pit toilets. Building the waterborne toilets. I wonder how they're going to get it done because these houses are so close that sometimes you can open your window and jump from your window straight into my house.
Yeah, we do have some very, very close houses. But I think overall, and I hear where you're going, overall, there has to be a movement towards the reduction of the pit toilets. So let's say we have 500 as a number that has been touted. If we move to a place where we have 400, we've increased significantly the landscape of Barbados.
Yeah.
And with those resulting 100, of course, there will be a move to manage the where they are now and see how best you can remove them in some form or even have...
Let me also say this to you, right?
Sorry. Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of the waterborne toilets. I like it because it's very convenient. But I want to say that to get this project completed, they may have to be a repositioning of houses. And
of course, as well as the... Because one of the challenges I'm very aware of, sir, is that there are persons who own property in the city who have not been in Barbados for over 40 years.
Yeah, I know.
And there's a challenge where people actually want to purchase the property so that they can enhance the surroundings, but can't do it because they don't have any papers.
Right. So, but let me just say this.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the other things I've been looking at is if you're going to add on waterborne toilets, you may have to cut off a part of the back of the house and then rebuild that part of the back of the house with facilities for the waterborne toilets, if you understand what I'm saying. Because, hello?
I'm here, listening to you, sir.
Because it's a good thing to have the toilets eradicated, but I think they're going to have some challenges getting these waterborne toilets because of the close proximity to one of these houses.
And what's wrong with a challenge? What is wrong with a challenge?
Absolutely nothing.
Life is about challenges and overcoming the challenges.
Absolutely nothing, Ms. Gill. All I am saying that in terms of the challenge, the challenge will come when they try to install. So they're going to have to, like you agree with, they're going to have to reposition some of these houses in order to get these facilities in. And I really believe that they should go that way and do what they've got to do. Because it is very cumbersome, really, to go have to leave your house all kinds of times of the night to go out to for the facilities in your yard. So I think it's a good thing that the government is going to embark upon.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Rashid been calling for a lot of years, and finally it's going to happen. But I know it's going to be a little bit difficult to get done, but I believe it can be done.
Okay.
Thank you.
I thank you so much. You know, automatically we go from a pit toilet conversation straight to waterborne. But we have a WhatsApper here mentioning that we can also include compost toilets instead of waterborne. And I remember visiting a zoo in Queens, 2016, Queens, New York. And that zoo had compost toilets. And the way how they had them built out, they were really beautiful, all white. Everything was white in that space. And there were no waterborne toilets at all. And all the persons who were visiting the zoo had to use these compost toilets. So even if we make suggestions, we can't automatically only think there's one option. There are several options that can be used, but the whole point is to remove the pit toilet. Of course, the compost toilet is a bridge between the waterborne and the pit toilet. But we have to do something to improve the living and the sanitary conditions of our city dwellers and of persons generally, because bear in mind this is not only a city issue. This issue is primarily in rural Barbados. We have a lot of persons on the countryside who have only had, because they had no water facilities, they've only had these toilets, and I really commend the move towards the removal of them so that Barbadians can live and enjoy a more sanitary and convenient lifestyle as we would want. Somebody's saying here is a little more fancy. Composting is the same thing, but just a little more fancy. Yes, it is. But, you know, we want a little more fancy than what we existing have. So there's nothing wrong with that. So I want to say thank you so much to all of the callers who made today possible. We've had some interesting discussions, some relating to budget, some relating to politics, some relating to a couple others. We had a query. There was a lady who made a query in relation to the excess bush that we found over in Waterford. There was actually a response, and I sent the response to the lady, and they had intended to share it with all of Barbados, and that WhatsApp is so far down, but the person did say MTW Richmond Depot was responsible for the Bobcat, and there were some challenges with the Bobcat needing repairs. So I hope that matter can be addressed. And that's not only particularly for Waterford, but I think it is really a nuisance to have these things removed, bushing done, but then left on the premises of the road for so long, which then makes the passageway a little impassable sometimes. So that is something that needs to be addressed. It has been my pleasure. I thank Mr. Dennis Johnson for assisting me in the studio today. And thank you for all of all of the callers, all of the listeners. And we hope to hear from you another time. Have a blessed day. This is Down to Brass Tacks.